May you be poor in misfortune, rich in blessings, slow to make enemies, quick to make friends. But rich or poor, quick or slow, may you know nothing but happiness from this day forward. Irish Toast. This is Reverse Deception Radio, and I'm your host, Gregory Carpenter, on the Veritas Radio Network Crusade Channel. Welcome back today. Thanks for coming in and hanging out with us this afternoon. We have a guest in the studio today. This is Joe Kelly. He's been with the government for about 250 years, give or take, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Joe, welcome to the show today.
Greg, thank you very much, and it's good to be here. So I'm Joe Kelly, a longtime veteran of the information operations community, both as a contractor and a federal employee at the Department of Defense. Finished up there as the lead for cyber intelligence in the Undersecretary's office and also running a lot of their cyber intelligence capabilities. So I have seen an awful lot of what we've been able to do on the dark side and why it's so much fun. These days, I'm now the chairman and CEO of the cyber unit of the Flynn Intelligence Group, and we are actually doing consulting to Fortune 500 and Global 500 companies at the board level to show them a different approach to cybersecurity that will focus on value rather than on trying to plug all the holes.
That's kind of an impossible thing to try to plug all the holes. People have been stuck on that for years, and they've never been able to figure it out. I like to say that we go about security all wrong sometimes. There was an article I read on last week's show talking about how hackers were letting the Pentagon know that they're doing cybersecurity all wrong. They're focusing on the wrong thing. And that's pretty much what you're talking about here.
Absolutely. I mean, the challenge that you see for any security team out there is they come in ready to talk to a bunch of business leaders or even in the Pentagon. I mean, I was there watching senior executives try to understand the technology. Mm-hmm. And what happens every single time is you watch the eyes glaze over. It might as well be, you know, someone coming in, you know, dressed in ones and zeros, and they're speaking a language that is not understood. The key difference of what we're going to do is working with some outstanding partners. We're going to be able to change the conversation to really be talking to business leaders about how much money is involved.
So kind of translating it from ones and zeros into ones, twos, threes, fours, fives, and sixes.
Yes. It's all about decimal points. Okay. See, in binary, we don't have decimal points.
Okay? Right.
That's our real problem. If we had decimal points, they would have gotten this. And decimal points and dollar signs or any currency sign really gets people's attention very, very quickly. And so the trick is, I mean, actually, and this is even the problem for the Pentagon and you know, government in general. If you want to protect something, and you sort of go back to our days in DOD, you started with what was it that was important that needed protecting.
Right.
You sort of started from the standpoint of, hey, what really matters and what do I really care about in terms of, in this case, information? You know, what has value, not only to you, but to someone on the outside? And then you build your protection plan from that. You don't start at the, you know, at the camp poster station level and say, oh, I have a fence. I need to make sure that all the holes in the fence are plugged. It's like, no, there's things inside the fence line. The fence is nice, but there are actually things like nuclear weapons that we wanted to protect, and that's really where we put the effort, is on the nuclear weapons, not on the fence line. And that's where you're seeing the complete breakdown in communication, is that, you know, they come in talking about fences and not about really what the value is. If we can do this the right way and shift the conversation to start with value, then we're going to see a complete sea change in how the information security community is going to operate.
I'm pretty excited. I hope it works for you, Joe.
I do too. Well, I'll keep you posted and be happy to come back and give you updates from time to time.
Well, that'd be great. Well, this week we are taking on the Christmas list of really cool technologies, of things you might want to get your kids and things you might not want to get your kids, but you might want to get your enemies. And there's a number of reasons why, and we're going to get into those things, but and you're going to see some of these technologies and you're going to be aware of some of them, okay? So just be aware that some of the things that are out there getting pushed by the big companies are not necessarily things you want to have in your house for one reason or another. You might want them in your friend's house, like I was just saying a minute ago, but just listen to what we have to say about it, and then you make your own decisions.
Now, for some of these, if you want to follow along at home, we'll actually name the manufacturer and the item so you can do a quick search on it. For one particular list that I decided to pick on, you know, is the great website TechCrunch.com. They had posted back on December 1st 9 gifts for the smartest home, basically for the tech geek in your site. And I can always count on the good folks at TechCrunch to have a complete booster attitude on anything technology and only sort of pause now and then when you mention the word security.
Sure.
So If you want a sort of list of problem of items that any tech enthusiast will be all excited about, and as long as they don't mention the word security, this is the list for you.
This is a place to one-stop shopping right here. So the first thing we have up is the Amazon Echo. Joe, you want to talk about
that? Yeah, so Amazon Echo. So if you were watching the NFL this weekend, you actually probably saw Seth Meyers from Late Night advertising this item, because it comes, in addition to just being a wonderful device, it, by the way, is basically an always-on in-home microphone that lets Amazon know what you want. And Amazon has, of course, helpfully paired this with its own version of Siri, which is Alexa. So you got to see Seth Meyers discussing with Alexa on his Amazon Echo, you know, what he wants to get mom and dad for Christmas and how much he wants to get himself for Christmas. Okay, this is a wonderful thing if you want to spend lots of money and if you want lots of other people to spend lots of your money, because this is the always-on microphone tied to your Amazon account and your credit card and all the things you could possibly want to buy. What could possibly go wrong in this scenario, Greg?
I mean, you're going to be shopping all the time. You're not going to have a chance to stop. And it's gonna. It has specific voice recognition, so it'll recognize my voice from your voice, from the kid's voice, from the dog barking, hopefully, so the dog's not ordering things when I'm not home.
Right.
I would hate to think that that would be the case. Depends upon what the dog wants to order, though, I guess. But I can't see a downside to having a microphone on in my house all the time, can you?
No, not at all. I can't imagine why anyone would be remotely concerned that something is picking up every interaction, even with whatever security devices and two-factor authentication they may have added into Amazon writ large. At a certain point, this thing's talking over the air, and I've got to pair it with something, and if you've got to do something and take a couple steps to do configuration, well, I think you and I know a few ways that we can get in the middle of that and have an awful lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no purely secure system. I've talked about this before several times on the show. I even used a quote in the book Reverse Deception that you can get on Amazon, by the way. I'll do the shameless plug for my own book. But Deborah Plunkett from the Information Assurance Directorate, she's the director up there at NSA, and she said that we have to take the assumption that no computer is secure. So that's the bottom line, is if NSA's computers aren't secure, your computer's not secure. And for sure, the Amazon Echo that is constantly sending and receiving data that has to be paired at your house with something and has to be paired on the back end because it's got to send it out over your Wi-Fi, guess what? It's not secure. So you could end up ordering all kinds of stuff. If you have a Lamborghini that shows up in your driveway, first thing I want you to do is call me and let me know, and I will be there. I will get rid of it for you, and then you make sure you go settle it with Amazon that you didn't order that thing. Okay, but I will make sure that the property is removed for you so you don't have to worry about it. Trust me. Well, I think that the Amazon Echo is probably off my list of things to get for the family, but of course it is one of those good things that you might want to consider for your neighbor's house.
That's right.
If you have an argumentative neighbor about where the fence is and his dog coming over to your yard or your dog going over to his yard.
Well, you actually make a good point, Greg. The Amazon Echo is ideal if you are in any kind of conflict situation. You know, if you're going through a messy divorce, if you have a really nasty conflict with the neighbor, giving this product so that you can have, you know, good recorded data on what is being said about you at different times and what's being asserted. I think the Amazon Echo has a tremendous potential, and would love to hear from some litigators, you know, on the potential admissibility of stuff off of Amazon Echo, you know, if you ever got into a really nasty court case.
That's a great idea. And as a matter of fact, I wonder if you could hook that up with the watch, the Google Watch.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Might be able to link those two together.
Right.
And, well, anyway.
What kills me, one more thing on Amazon. I love Jeff Bezos. I mean, like, I love my Amazon Prime membership.
Sure.
I do an awful lot with it. And, you know, I understand, you know, what risks I'm taking. But at the end of the day, you just have to admire the sheer chutzpah of a company that believes that an always-on microphone. Because remember, they did this with the Amazon Fire Phone when it first came out. It was
right,
the same
first,
thing.
Right.
And they were even, I think, if I remember correctly, having the camera on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were looking at something, hey, Amazon, tell me what this is. Well, yeah, that camera was pretty much on anytime you were turning the phone around. Amazon is all about just completely integrating your life experiences. They want to be part of your life. That's something you probably ought to think about. How much of a relationship do you want with Amazon?
I don't have a marriage certificate filled out with Amazon's name on it. I do have Mrs. Carpenter's name proudly next to mine, and I don't think I want to change that.
And I mean, aside from the polygamy issues for Jeff Bezos with all of this one, I think, yeah, just one marriage is good for me. I don't need Amazon, you know.
Fair enough. But if you do have teenagers in the house, that might be something good to give to them and put up in the room. Of course, you know, because they're on the phone at all hours of the night. But There's other different apps that you can put in the phone that you can get right from the iTunes Store or the Play Store if you have an Android that'll do the same thing, and it's going to be a lot cheaper. This thing is running for, what, 100 and...
189, I think. Yes, there you go. Retailing for 180. Sorry, retailing for 180, and it will let you do all the things, you know, through Hulu and you know, turn the lights down. I'm not sure how they're turning the lights down. Maybe that's if you're using some of the other products that we'll get to later.
Sure. Sure, it probably is. But, yeah, for $180 or an app on the phone, I'd get the app on the phone for 99 cents and make sure that the kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So the next one we're going to talk about, how about the modular security alarm system?
Oh, yeah, Scout's modular security alarm. Hey, because you want security, right? And it's so darn annoying dealing with all of those big companies like ADT and all of their fees and everything else. Wouldn't you like it if you could just go out there and, you know, get motion sensors and door sensors and all the things you need for security and set it up yourself,
do it yourself,
over your Wi-Fi?
Right. Because that's the most secure thing in the world.
It is. It's so convenient and so secure to do it over Wi-Fi. It's all battery powered and wireless, so you know the batteries will last forever, I'm sure. Wireless is always secure, as we know, because you just, you know, keep doing so. It's very simple to install. Grows with your needs, so you can always add another contact, you know, somewhere to guard a door, another sensor.
Right.
And just keep buying these sensors and sensors. What could go wrong here?
I can't count of too many things other than I know that I can download a web decryptor over the web and decrypt web in about 30 seconds. And I could probably decrypt WPA2 in maybe 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes or so. So then I'm inside your Wi-Fi. If I wanted to take the hard way through, if I wanted to go the easy way through, I wouldn't even mess with the encryption. I'd just go around the encryption, reboot your device, and take over while it's rebooting. Back to factory mode. No big deal. Your security system has just cost you about $1,000, and you might as well put it on the shelf.
And I mean, let's be more sophisticated if we really wanted to mess with you, and I knew you had Scout as your basic security. So the idea of Scout here is we're going to sit down and we're going to install our own security devices, and then, well, what's your monitoring? What's your alarm approach? Well, it's alerts to your phone.
It's going to be on my phone, absolutely.
It's going to be on my phone, right? So sure. You'll sign up for notifications, right? So, okay, well, if I can get into sort of the Wi-Fi and you know, get into to triggering what's on the apps, let's see. I guess the first thing I'd want to do is desensitize you to alarms.
Mm-hmm.
So if I start sending lots of spurious false alarms to you,
You're
going to get rid of the notifications,
I'm
going
to turn it off. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
I can't take all those alerts.
Right. And so once I get rid of all those alerts... Okay, now when the alerts start happening, for real, you're not going to know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it... I'm having a hard time. It's what I crack up on reading this one is, okay, so you have a mandatory hub that's 130.
Right.
So that's just to sort of set up and be the thing that we're going to crack and have fun with. But then the accessories. Listen to the prices for accessories. Door sensor. So this is just simple, you know, contact lock thing. You and I could use the old, you know, 150 and one electronics kits to create a simple contact alarm using wires.
Oh, forget it.
You know, but you want $70 for a door sensor, $50 for a motion sensor. You know, if you're going to go to the point of spending, either one of our houses, you figure we're going to have to dump at least, you know, 5-6 door sensors.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to want easily, you know, half dozen motion sensors scattered around the house.
Sure.
All right, at that rate, you know, I'm already up at $600 for door sensors, another $300 for the door sensors, $500 for my motion sensors, and $100. I'm spending $1,000 already.
Yeah, I was thinking $1,200 over here at the house. I was just going around counting the windows.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've had the windows. Like, you're already talking about spending easily a couple of thou just to put all that on.
Right.
ADT suddenly doesn't look so bad. Plus, they actually will talk to the police, and I'm not sure this really does. I mean, I suppose it could trigger an automated 911 call, but God help you if,
can you
from
imagine
an insurance standpoint.
How many 911 calls you could trigger? You could probably set it up for an auto redial inside the system once you get access.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could trigger 911 calls all day long.
Greg, it has finally hit me what this really is, okay?
Okay, what's
it's,
that?
It's Scout's modular swatting system. This is the next phase in swatting someone you don't like. You set this thing up and boom, you just trigger a whole bunch of alarms. I mean, the one good thing I haven't seen on here that would sort of make it really to sort of the, you know, the coup de grace would be some kind of, you know, nuclear, biological, or chemical sensor,
NBC, right.
An NBC trigger that like notifies, you know, the local police that they've got a major incident, you know, major national class incident
right.
on their hands. Then we could really start having some fun with this one.
All we need is some litmus paper. That'll get you a start.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that could do. We could do that. We could certainly make some modifications to this system to make it much more aggressive, but I think where we're at, we're good.
So if you just joined us, you're listening to Reverse Deception Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Carpenter. In studio guest today is Joe Kelly, former Department of Defense super bigwig guy. And we're talking about a list of really cool things you might want to get for Christmas, you might not want to get for Christmas, depending upon who you want to give it to. And we just finished talking about the Scout's modular security alarm that I'm not sure I would have in my house, but you might want to suggest it for your neighbors. If you want to give them a starter kit, might only cost a couple $100, but you can have fun all day with that, I think.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on and do some quick ones here. So, like, the next one up on the TechCrunch list, that this is sort of, like, in the category of products, and TechCrunch is great for finding these. Things I didn't know I needed. And this is the LIFX, L-I-F-X, light bulbs. Okay, so what the read in here is, feel the need to twerk to the perfect shade of laser blue in your living room?
I don't need Miley Cyrus
okay,
in my living
I need,
room.
I
no.
need a $60 light bulb that is Wi-Fi connected that can then give me 16 million different shades of color, including 1,000 variations of white.
How many can your eye actually see?
It depends on the person. Mm. You and I, our eyes are getting a bit old these days, so we probably can't, you know, we're probably down around the 8 million colors, I'm guessing, you know. I know I can't see 1,000 variations of white. I mean, you know,
no.
You and I are both homeowners, no. We're both married. We've nope. been through the paint sample thing.
Absolutely,
okay?
There's
you
no
know,
chance.
No. Like, which one do you like better? They're indistinguishable.
That's correct.
You never say that. Advice to other, you know, husbands and future husbands out there, never actually question the paint color.
That's right.
But so, yeah, so LIFX light bulbs. Yeah, good for you that this is a Wi-Fi connected light bulb with 16 million different colors. I mean, I suppose it could be a lot of fun if someone was willing to drop, you know, $60 a light bulb around their house.
Mm-hmm.
You could make one heck of a laser light show,
probably,
you know, coming
yeah.
out of all of this. But I'm at a loss for why we're even doing this one.
With Stairway to Heaven, I think this would be a great light show.
There you go. That could work. That could work.
It probably could. You would have to get, gosh, I'm thinking, how many lumens? Doesn't say how many lumens it puts out. I'm guessing that it's a regular 60 or 100 watt bulb. It's not super,
so.
You know, not super powerful. But either way, you could change the colors frequently. You
mm-hmm.
could freak somebody out. You could, with a neurological issue, into an epileptic seizure, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Actually, what would be fun with this is to actually start doing, you know, what they do in the Android store, which is putting the knockoff app.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it. You can picture a knockoff app that's kind of like randomly assigning colors
right.
to, you know, hey, it's Tuesday. Today's magenta day. We're moving on to puce on Tuesday.
Or you could, or if you want to put these in the office, maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there you go. Drive your boss crazy.
Yep.
So moving on, do we want to just pick on Nest as a company? You know, because the Nest has like two or three. I almost don't feel like we want to go after Nest like product by product. It's just sort of, you know,
in general.
In general, Nest
it's just
was
too easy.
It is too easy, but they were sort of the first company to say, "Hey, I want lots of things in my home to be connected to the internet.
Right.
I want to be able to program my thermostat from my home. I want to be able to have a camera so I can see what's going on in my home." You know, it's again, this sort of, I almost wonder whether like Nest was founded by a bunch of sort of obsessive compulsives that really felt a need to know exactly what was happening in their home, you know, at all times and have it under exact control.
I find it strange because people can't go anywhere without being married to their phone in many situations. As soon as a text comes in, they have to answer the text. As soon as they get a phone call, they have to answer the phone call. You know, if this behavior was exhibited 40 years ago, mm-hmm. people would have said, what is your problem? You need to go, you know, you need to go see the psychiatrist in room
yep,
304.
Go see a shrink. And I saw this today. I'm downtown meeting a buddy for breakfast, walking back to the metro by George Washington University. Come up to a crosswalk. Two young women, head down in the cell phones, you know, typing mm-hmm. a reply to a text message. The walk light has gone on, and they're still head down, not noticing that the light has changed because their attention is on the phone. Now, good thing they're not walking while trying to text and, like, walking into traffic. So this was a good news story. They were staying safely on the curb when it was time to cross. I think they noticed after I walked by, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'll give you a one-up on that. I was in D.C. down by Chinatown about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I saw the same thing happen. I was waiting on the corner for someone to meet me there. Mm-hmm. So I stayed on the corner. I didn't go anywhere. But the cars that pulled up to the light, they were sitting texting on their phones while the light was red and completely missed as the light changed through green back to red again. Completely missed the iteration of light changing because they were just texting the whole time.
That's why there are people like me leaning on their horns in traffic all the time. The key thing about Nest that sort of, you know, the Nest thermostat is the one everybody likes to make fun of because it actually learns what the patterns are and starts to detect when people are home. Mm-hmm. Lovely application of AI, and I'm sure there's probably something similar they can do with the camera, but okay, the problem I have with that is, hey, Nest, I'd want to start targeting you as a company now because I'd like to know how you know when people are home. Because again, back to our thievery, hey, that's a great opportunity for me to find out when I can go tag someone, when I can go get something at their house. So kudos to Nest for once again really trying to integrate everything into our lives.
They're leading the charge in the Internet of Things, per se. They're trying to link every single thing together. You know, I was at Home Depot, and I was walking around. Of course, I was looking for wireless signals like I always do. Yep. And of course, there was a refrigerator broadcasting a wireless signal to me.
That's good.
And so was the Home Depot secure wireless, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. wasn't really secure.
Right.
It just said it was secure.
Right.
And you just click on it and you can connect. So I hooked up the...
Password is null.
The password was password.
Password was password.
Password was password, yep. Just like it usually is.
Yep.
And I hooked up the refrigerator to their Wi-Fi and then had the refrigerator print off that it was low on milk and that it was low on butter and stuff like that. Of course, they had no idea where it was coming from. It probably took them months to figure out.
Oh, undoubtedly. But they may not have figured it out yet because I'm not sure Home Depot actually has a CISO. So they may not have anyone to talk to. They're sort of still in the pre-target days. Actually, I don't know that for sure. In fairness, you know, unless we get accused of defamation for Home Depot here.
But they're still looking at the cash registers.
Oh, yeah. Nest, you want to connect everything. I'm not sure I see the need for people to be this connected in their life. Yeah, right. But let's move on. Sorry. We want to make sure that we cover the whole list here. So iHome, right. I've used some of their products for speakers, good Bluetooth speakers.
Sure.
I don't really want the ISP5 remote-controlled plug, okay? This is sort of like, or you remember the clapper, clap on, clap off.
That's right.
This is the Wi-Fi clapper, mm-hmm. okay? So this is, have fun, pick your favorite enemy, people that you want to get rid of really quickly that are hooked up to life support systems. Put this one in between the plug and the wall and the plug on their device, and boom, you can go to town because you're controlling it from from Siri. Siri, turn off grandma. These are not necessarily good ideas. I really don't see the point of having Wi-Fi controlled plugs.
I do have an in-law that could use this in their house, I think. Mm-hmm. Periodically, I could call out to Siri, I think. That would probably be
good. I mean, I can think of a lot of DJs and clubs and some other places where this would come in really handy. But again, I don't think this is really the intended use that they're having in mind.
No, I think it's far from it. But anytime you can control... someone else's Wi-Fi in this manner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's game over.
Well, and again, my big problem in all of these is anytime you're telling me we're going to control from an iOS or Android app, I mean, Android, come on, it's trivial for us to get into the middle of, iOS, a little bit harder, but only a little. The reality is when we're walking on these apps, I can get you at the app level. Because
sure.
Your phone is not that secure. So anything you're doing from here, you have given me a whole bunch of seams to immediately begin working to get in on you.
That's right. We could just walk right in. Well, we're going to take our first break here right now. We're up against a hard break. This is the Reverse Deception Radio Show with your host, Greg Carpenter, and special guest in studio, Joe Kelly, here on the Veritas Radio Network Crusade Channel.
We're giving you 5 minutes to gather the Pentagon-sized pile of scales that's fallen from your eyes. Reverse Deception. We'll be right back on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.